Please take your Bibles and turn with me to two passages. First of all, to the Old Testament, to the prophecy of Jeremiah, and just to a few verses from Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, it's on page 734 of the Maroon Bibles. And we start from the top of the page, the right-hand column on page 734, verse 18. And as we read through these verses, we're just reading five verses here. Just see which of these verses Jesus picks up in the New Testament passage that we're going to be reading in a moment or two. Which of these verses does Jesus home in on? And then thinking further as we move into the passage in Mark, why are the disciples confused? And then we're going to see Jesus asking a series of questions of them. What is Jesus saying to you through these questions that we're going to read? But first of all, Jeremiah 5 at verse 18. This is God's word. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you, that is, of God's people, the Jews. And it will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do all these things to us? Then you shall answer them. Just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. And then turn over with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 13. What verse does Jesus pick up? Why are the disciples confused? And what about these questions that Jesus is asking? How do they relate to you? Mark 8 at verse 13, that's page 977. Let's again hear God's word. And he, that is Jesus, left them, that's the Pharisees with whom he's been debating, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. And when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, or it could actually be translated, so he was saying to them over and over again, how is it you do not understand? Amen. May God bless to us these readings from his own perfect and infallible word. Please do have your Bibles open at that passage from Mark that we read earlier. Mark chapter 8, from verse 13 on. I wonder if you've noticed the same thing as I have. You're driving along in the car, listening to a particular station on the radio. It could be Classic FM, could be Radio Foyle. You could be listening to a sermon on a DVD. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the traffic news comes on. You haven't programmed it. You haven't been looking for it. But there it is. And it doesn't matter what you do for those couple of minutes, what dials you turn, what buttons you press, you can't move away from the traffic news. It's as if the station that you've been listening to has been blocked by this other station cutting in on top of it. What's happening to your radio in that situation is similar to what's happening to the disciples in the passage that we're looking at today. If you look at verse 15, Jesus transmits what seems to be a very clear signal. Take heed, he says. And again, this is something he is saying over and over again. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. But his list of questions from verse 17 right through, really, to verse 20 and 21. That list of questions shows that the signal hasn't been properly received. There's something blocking it, preventing it getting through. And if you look at verse 14 and at verse 16, you get an idea of what is blocking the signal. The disciples aren't properly tuned in. They're confused. They're on the wrong wavelength. And so Jesus has to take some time by these questions to unblock their hearing, to make sure that they are receiving his very important signal. Last week we were looking at verses 11 to 13 of Mark chapter 8. And we saw there a group of Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees, confronting Jesus, marching up to Jesus and demanding a sign from him to order. They weren't happy with the signs that they'd already seen. Jesus healing a leper, helping a paralyzed man to walk, raising the dead daughter of a ruler of their synagogue to life again, feeding many thousands of people from a handful of food. Signs from their own scriptures, signs pointing to who Jesus is, the Messiah, their longed-for deliverer. He's in their midst. But they have decided he's a troublemaker, and they need to silence him. This is stubborn unbelief. And we saw last week in verse 12, that it draws from Jesus a great sigh. These men refuse to see, and no sign that Jesus can give them will change that. They've closed their eyes. They've put their fingers in their ears. They've deliberately tuned in to a rival station. And not even Jesus' cross or Jesus rising again will change their minds. But surely we can expect better of the disciples. They have seen this second feeding in the desert with their own eyes. They were actually involved in handing out the bread and the fish. As they actually saw the bread and the fish being multiplied as it left Jesus' hands. And they've heard on the seashore how hostile Jesus' enemies are, for no good reason. They've heard Jesus' deep sadness, Jesus' refusal to play their game. And they've got back into the boat with Jesus. But these verses, from verse 14 on, these verses show us that the disciples are all at sea. They're not on Jesus' wavelength either. They don't hate Jesus as the Pharisees do. But they don't love him. They don't trust him as they should either. If you're a bit confused today with what God is doing in your life, if you're not receiving clearly who Jesus is and what he wants from you, then these verses are for you. Because here Jesus takes time to clear up confusion. And that's what I want to call this sermon. Jesus clears up confusion. I hope and I pray that he will do that for you today. Maybe you have something in your life blocking Jesus' vital message. Maybe you need to take Jesus' questions here to yourself. Well, first of all, let's look a bit closer at the confusion of the disciples. Not just one of them sitting on a question mark, but all 12 of them, I would think, just wondering what is actually going on. Verse 14. Now the disciples, this is as they're departing to the other side, back in the boat again, the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. They're back on the Sea of Galilee. They were there in verse 10, and quite suddenly, unexpectedly, they're back on the sea again. They're either rowing, they're sailing from the west of the Lake of Galilee to the north, more or less. And Jesus is still concentrating on that fight with the Pharisees. He's thinking about how blind they are, how stubborn. He's thinking about their hard hearts and their closed minds. They only want a Messiah who will jump at their command and perform magic tricks. Jesus is turning all this over in his mind. He doesn't want his disciples to be led astray by such blind, twisted men, because these are the leaders, the religious leaders of the whole nation. And so he warns the disciples in verse 15. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Not long before this, they had seen bread multiply out of all belief. And Jesus uses the language of bread in verse 15 to talk to them of something deeper. And Aileen, you know all about this, actually. Because this past few Lord's Day evenings, we've enjoyed various breads that you've been making after our Bible studies, and even one with apricot. And I know, Aileen, you just put a tiny pinch of yeast into the mixture. And then in the bread maker, it works its way through the whole thing and causes the lump to grow until a loaf comes out. We love homemade bread. But here Jesus is using the picture of yeast to talk about evil. Not about something good, but about evil. How evil works. Like yeast, evil can start small. Evil can work away unseen, behind closed doors. Yet if evil is left unchecked, it can influence the whole of our lives. When the Israelites left Egypt, they had to make bread without yeast. And then every subsequent Passover, the Jews had to clear their homes of yeast to show there would be no sin in their offering. Let me just give you one example of that yeast working. King David allowed a sudden, small temptation to come in through his eyes. And before he knew it, it led to him taking another man's wife, then murdering her husband, then losing his kingdom, and then to the death of his son Absalom. A seemingly small temptation can come at any one of us. Satan knows where each one of us is weak and he'll work on those things, blowing us up, making us think we're greater than we are, drawing us away from God. Christians have started flirting with evil, telling themselves it doesn't really matter. And in 6 months, it has ruined their lives. Jesus is warning his disciples here, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. Watch out for the yeast of Herod, the king, the local king, or local ruler and his followers. These things can work their way into your mind, and they can turn you off Jesus and turn you on to things that can't save you, that can't keep you. But the problem is the disciples' minds are not on Jesus' wavelength at all. As verse 14 tells us, they've forgotten to bring enough bread with them, and this is what they're thinking about. Now, this may well have been their job. Jesus has been doing the teaching and the training, but it's their job to provide the food to make sure they don't run out. Just like I would be lost without James to work out the sound for us every week. Or just as we would be lost without Oliver and Rebecca to provide our singing to make sure we get the right notes. We'll be lost without Florence. She's not with us today. Somebody else has to provide the biscuits. But here the disciples seem to have fallen down. All they have is one bap, one small roll. How much will each of them get if they divide it into 13? And look what they do when they hear Jesus' warning in verse 16. Very clear warning. So they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And Mark uses the word reasoned or discussed. I think he's being kind to them. We know enough here about full and frank discussions in this country to realize this may actually be little short of a blazing row. One disciple blaming another for not getting the bread organized, for not getting the food organized. Jesus must have heard us grousing about our lack of bread. That's why he's talking about the yeast of the Pharisees. With amazing denseness, they totally mistake Jesus' meaning. They think Jesus is telling them not to take a bap from the Pharisees. Or if the followers of Herod offer you bread, don't take that either. They think he's saying this because they have no bread of their own. It's maybe a bit comforting to think that the disciples can be so dim. They're not spiritual giants here. They're more like spiritual pygmies. And Jesus comes back at them because he realizes that they haven't grasped what he's saying. He comes back at them with a volley of questions. And there are about 8 different questions here. Short, punchy, painful questions. Now, Jesus was distraught at the unbelief of the Pharisees, but he expected that. He is dismayed by the dullness of his own men. Look at what he says in verse 21. How is it that you do not understand? I actually think the NIV is better here. Do you still not understand? Men, how can you be so dense? How can you be so blind to what I'm saying? But there's even more here than just a telling off. And that's why we read from Jeremiah earlier. These are the words that God gives Jeremiah. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. At the beginning of verse 18, Jesus says almost exactly the same thing. Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? The prophet Ezekiel warns the rebels in Israel in the same terms. And when God gives Isaiah his life's work doesn't he send him to people who are ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving? This seems to be a problem that goes back centuries. A theme that is common to three of the major prophets, to the Jews. And who are they speaking to? They're not really speaking to believers at all. They're speaking to unbelievers, rebels, people trusting only in themselves. Jesus isn't just telling the disciples they're foolish. He's telling them that they're behaving like Pharisees. They're behaving like unbelievers. And what he's saying in verse 15, these are two of the biggest temptations that any of us face. And you could preach a series of sermons on each of these things, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. The Pharisees loved to study God's word, but they believed that you could be saved by observing rules and rituals, by adding to what God's word says, which really actually sets God's word to one side. Those who followed Herod, and you can see Herod's antics back in Mark chapter 6, those who followed Herod had little time for religion. They were after power. They were after influence. They were after money. They preferred to take away from God's word. Those were strong temptations then, and they're strong for believers today. Temptation to performance, temptation for power. And Jesus is saying, always keep on watching for the yeast of the Pharisees, for the yeast of Herod. Not just once, all the time. So that's the confusion of the disciples. But secondly, let's think why the disciples are confused. Why the disciples are confused. Why do these men make such an obvious mistake? They've seen Jesus' miracles. They've heard him teach. They know how his mind works better than anybody else alive. The questions that Jesus asks here point to why the disciples are confused. Is your heart still hardened? Jesus asks. There's a spiritual hardness there, where there should be a softness, a willingness to learn. Just like rain runs off a good waterproof instead of soaking into it. So Jesus' words seem to run off their minds. Do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have ears but fail to hear? Are you using the abilities God has given you, Jesus asks? Are you really grasping the point of my miracles? Are you teasing out the meaning of my parables? And don't you remember? He says at the end of verse 18. That's what we were singing about in Psalm 77. The psalmist seemed to have a short memory. Weren't you there when that vast crowd of maybe more than 10,000 people ate and were satisfied? Didn't you men pick up the leftovers? And have you so quickly forgotten about the more recent repeat, just in case you missed it the first time? Didn't you help me? Didn't you gather up a mountain of food in those bigger baskets? And yes, a short time before this, they'd seen Jesus produce enough food for 4,000 people. I wonder if this room would actually hold the amount of food that Jesus produced. And yet, they're in a state about how they're going to feed 13. But all of these questions that Jesus is asking, they're all driving at something that lies beneath them. He's asking in different ways, Don't you realize who I really am? He's with them in the boat, but they don't realize what this means. They're in the presence of the one who has made them, who loves them, who cares for them on so many levels, and who will go on looking after them. And what are they talking about? The fact that they've only got one loaf. In other words, they're allowing their worries, their concerns, to crowd out or to drown out Jesus' word. They can't properly receive the signal that Jesus is sending because of this petty business about the bread. They're living as if Jesus is not with them, as if he is not their master. They're blind to his presence. They have eyes, but they don't actually see. They're deaf to his word. He speaks, but they don't understand. And you can actually trace in Mark through a number of examples of where this is true. It seems that it will take some time for them to work out what's going on. Their hearts are hard to Jesus' love, to Jesus' power. They're living as if they really don't know Jesus. And that's why they're confused. So the confusion of the disciples, why the disciples are confused. But let's apply some of this to ourselves today. Let's ask finally, what mistakes may we make? What mistakes may we make? How can we be confused? Now, we are not at exactly the same stage as these disciples. We don't have Jesus with us in person, as they do. But Jesus hasn't died for them yet, as he has for us believers. Nor has he risen from the dead. However, we can still get it wrong, even with God's finished word. We can still think like the people around us. We can still tune God out. We can try to impress God with our performance. We can still be tempted by what the world offers, what the world values. We can be affected, we can be damaged by the thinking of the world. And the world today is looking for experiences. The more extreme, the better. People are looking for relationships and will go to many lengths to find them. But Jesus is warning about danger. He's saying that not every relationship is wise or healthy. Our relationship with him, our submission to his authority, is crucial, is central. Don't think like the world around you. Bring Jesus into every area of your thinking, no matter what subject comes up. The war on so-called Islamic State. The debate about assisted dying, which will come back. The Rugby World Cup. You're thinking about whatever these things are, your thinking should be different from the thinking of the unbeliever. You see, we can fail to use our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears. People in the world don't even have these. I would think probably most of you today read a portion from the Bible this morning. What did you read? What did you see in that passage? Did you hear God speaking to you through it? Did it soften your heart? Did it stretch your mind? Or did you just do it out of habit? Did your eyes pass along the words without really taking anything in? Do you have eyes but fail to see? And I'm speaking to myself here as well, because sadly many a day I can't recall much of what I've read. Are you using the opportunities God gives you to understand Him, to get to know His Word? Opportunities for Bible study, for prayer, where you can get answers, where you may be challenged more deeply. Where are you unprepared in life, as these disciples are unprepared or caught unawares? Where are you acting more like a Pharisee than like a disciple? Could it be with that difficult person at school, at university, at work? Are you focusing on that person and how difficult he or she is and forgetting about your Savior? Do you doubt His goodness, His ability to give you the grace you need to face what you're facing? Do you ever feel alone? We are only a small company here. Have you forgotten that you are never alone? That this Creator, this Savior is with you 24/7? Or maybe you've sinned again in that area where you promised yourself you wouldn't. Have you stopped believing that you can win through in this area with Jesus' help? If we're honest, we're often far too like these disciples. Are you working on what you believe? You see, this really isn't a problem with foggy minds. The foggy minds are the result of the hard hearts. And in the same passage in Matthew, Jesus points this out. He wraps the disciples' knuckles lovingly. He says to them, "O you of little faith." He doesn't say, "O you of little understanding." There's no understanding because there's little faith. They can't think straight because they're not trusting right. Many in the church today would have us think too highly of ourselves, not rely completely on God, as if there were good qualities in us that would make God choose us, as if God should be privileged to have us. That's the yeast of the Pharisees. And the world around us twists our faith in a different way. Many of you have heard things like this. "Don't be such a stick in the mud. Nobody believes these things nowadays. That Jesus was born of a virgin. That He is the only Savior of anyone who gets to heaven. That we should be pure before marriage and pure within marriage. Come on, be more like the world." That's the yeast of Herod. The Christian thinker Francis Schaeffer once said, "Tell me what the world is saying, and I'll tell you what the church will be saying 10 years later." For a long time in France, the church followed the world. And so today there are very few believers for Christian young people to marry. The beliefs, the faith of the church in Germany has been watered down over the years. And so when Peter was there recently, he found it all but impossible to meet real German Christians. If we don't listen to Jesus' warning here and to His searching questions, we endanger the church in this land for the next generation. I ask you in love today, are you acting like a disciple, or are you acting more like an unbeliever? Are you losing sight of the presence and the power and the love of Jesus, especially as he goes to the cross for you? Are you living most of your time as if he were not with you? As if he's not able, as if he's not willing to help you? Our greatest need is to understand who Jesus really is and what his presence really means. Let me finish with you, unbeliever. We started by talking about the traffic news breaking into the sound waves on the radio. And that can be a nuisance. But it can also save you time, and it may help you to avoid an accident. Is Jesus breaking into your life so that you can resist him no longer? Is he opening your eyes? Is he opening your ears and your mind to his message? Are you beginning to see that nothing short of his death will save you from the sin that you're finding in your life? Will you plead with him for those new eyes that you need? Will you plead with him to soften your heart, to help you to really understand who he is and why he came? Because there is no hope of sight if you turn your back on the Messiah of light. Let's stand and talk to God together. Our Father, you know that sometimes we are like these disciples. We are taken up with the problems and the worries in our lives. They can dominate our thinking, like the one loaf in this passage. And that was a real problem for these men, but it meant nothing beside the provider of all food sitting among them. Lord, we pray that you would give us an ever clearer understanding of your word. Help us not to fall into worldly ways of thinking, which is so easy to do. Help us not to be hardened to your presence or to your word. Open our eyes, open our ears, soften our hearts. Help us to see and to hear and to remember all the ways that you have been good and merciful to us. And Lord, may we see you at all times, in the good things that happen and in the bad things too. May we understand who you are, Jesus, so that we may know you more clearly and know what you want to do with us. Lord, help us to take these questions to heart, to search our own hearts, to make sure that we are walking in your ways. And Lord, we do pray for any still outside your family. Help them to cry out for what only you can give, for these new eyes and new ears and new heart to love Jesus, so that they too will be ready for when he calls them away or for when he comes to end this world. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.